What do you want for Christmas? I heard somebody say that yesterday. Yeah. What do you want for Christmas? What would you like for Christmas? And some of your eyes might light up as you think, well, I could have this or I could have that. What would you like for Christmas? I want to give you this morning two words for Christmas. I want to give you two words for Christmas. I want to give you two words to unwrap and to consider and to think about. I want you to receive these two words. And if you receive these two words, Christmas will be different for you. Life will be different for you. Going bigger than that, if you receive the person who is these two words, everything's different. And some of us in this room this morning know that we've received the one who is the person of these two words and everything is now different. So may it be a big morning for us as we're going to unwrap two words for Christmas. I want you to receive them as a gift. I want you to take what's found in the gift with these two words and bring them into your life. So we're in Matthew and chapter 1. And we're going to think about two words from Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to take one word first of all. So this is our first word. We're going to unwrap our first word. So think we got a parcel. We got a parcel, everybody. And we're going to unwrap it. Ever unwrapped a parcel? Unwrap this parcel. And we're going to bring out our first word. And our first word is in Matthew and chapter 1 and verse 23. I believe it is. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And it is Emmanuel. I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. Emmanuel. Which means God with us. God has come to be with us. Emmanuel. That's the first word I want us to think about. The first word I want us to receive. Children, everybody, children, have you ever been on your own and you just thought, I want somebody with me? When I was a child, I remember feeling that a lot. I just want my mum with me. If I'm on my own, I feel vulnerable. In fact, I felt it this year. frightening is possibly overstating it, but on May the 8th this year, I was in Addis Ababa. And I was on my own. And it was night. And I was in the middle of Africa. And I was in an area where they hardly ever see white people. And it was pouring with rain. It had poured with rain. And I was on my own. And I got 25 minutes to walk from the church where I'd been to the place where I was staying. And it was dark. And I was on my own. And I just would have liked somebody to be with me who knew the situation. And I scurried on. I fell down in front of a shop and I just scrambled up because I just wanted to get through that situation. You see, I wanted somebody to be with me and I was on my own. You see, there are times when we need somebody to be with us. It's our heart's longing. And the good news of Christmas is Emmanuel. The good news, God has showed up on this planet. God has showed up on earth in flesh, in humanity, as a man. Not a half man or a half God, but one who is 100% God has taken humanity. Anybody know who he is? Anybody heard about him? His name is... Kai? His name is Jesus! Jesus has come. He is Emmanuel, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. Right at the beginning of our passage, it says about the one who is Jesus Christ. It says the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And we went through all of those names. And then it comes and says that he is the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. He's come to be with us. He's come to help us, human beings, us. Do you need help this morning? If you say, in light of that question, I'm just fine, I'll get through life on my own, I don't need help, then really we haven't got much to say to you. I mean, I beg you to listen, but we haven't got anything to say to you. Because Jesus Christ has come to be with us to help us. Jesus Christ has come into our situation. If you need help, if you realize life is just not working out, life is a mess, you've realized particularly that you're a bent banana, then Jesus Christ has showed up for us. Look at the passage. I'm looking now, if you're following it in the Bible, I'm in chapter Matthew 1 and verses 22 and 23 in particular. 22 and 23 in particular. And I'll just read it again to us. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay? So what has been fulfilled? What has been fulfilled? It's something that was spoken about 730 years previously, by a man called Isaiah, and he said, a virgin is going to be with child. That was given to stir a man called Ahaz, King Ahaz, to faith. And it ultimately comes to be shown to us when Jesus Christ comes. He is Emmanuel. He is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He is the one who Isaiah prophesied about. And we, as we see him come, are to be reminded to trust in the Lord, because God has intervened. Jesus is the one who has come to be God with us. Well, what's happened? He says all this has been fulfilled. Well, what's happened? All this has taken place. Well, what's taken place? Mary, this virgin, who's never been with a man, never had sexual relations with any man, is miraculously found to be with child. No man involved at all. We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. This is a miracle. God has come, taken place. Taken his place in the womb of Mary. Joseph, she's engaged, you see. An engagement was a bit of a bigger event in those days than it is today. And in order to break the engagement, there had to be some sort of proper documentation. And Joseph finds out and he thinks, well, he's a good man and he doesn't want to cause a lot of problems. And he just says, I'm gonna separate. We'll separate. But the message comes from the Lord with Joseph considering this matter. The message comes. He says, don't do that. You take care of Mary. What is in her womb is not of man, it's of the Holy Spirit. God has come. God has visited Mary's womb, and an angel has come to Joseph to say what has happened. All this to fulfill what had been promised 730 years ago. God keeps his promises. If you're a struggling Christian this morning, remember that. God keeps his promises. Christmas tells us God keeps his promises. The virgin shall be with child. Mary the virgin is found with child. And so Joseph is reassured. He's not left thinking, well, some dodgy some dodgy guy from Judea has showed up and has taken Mary and something unpleasant has happened, or no, nothing unpleasant has happened. The most glorious event has happened. Mary is with child by the Holy Spirit. All this is fulfilled. A baby is to be born. What do we think there? What do we think? Well, that's just great. Happy times, as it were. This is good. God has come to us. It's an amazing miracle. But life goes on. But life goes on. Is that what you think this Christmas time? You think it's just some sort of event? Okay, you may say miracles happen, but it's some sort of distant event, and it's okay that it happened. But there's a question. Why has he come? Why is he here? Why has God showed up? Why has God showed up on earth? Why hasn't he just left everything to go according to the crazy mess created by bent human beings? That's the question. Why has he come? Fulfilled the prophecy, but why? Why? Oh, why? Oh, why? Imagine tomorrow. Imagine tomorrow somebody turns up at your door and says, can I come in? I've come to help. And you look at him and you think, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've come to do to help. Who are you? Why are you here? And then he says, I'm the plumber, and I've come in response to your telephone call from Friday to fix your boiler. And then you'll know. You know why he's come. He's come to help. And you say, oh, it's great to see you. Please come in. I've just been cold all weekend. It's great now. You're the one. I know why you're here. And the question we want to know now surely is, why has he come? Why has he come? You see, it's important that we know why Jesus has come. What has he come to do? Emmanuel is true, and that's mighty good news. But we're going to find out why it truly is mighty good news when we come to unwrap our second word this morning. And that word is, well, we're going to sing our fifth hymn now, and we're going to sing to the Lord. But before we come to sing, before we come to consider our second word. From the squalor of a borrowed stable, by the spirit of a virgin's birth, to the anguish and the shame of scandal, came the Saviour of the human race. Let's stand and let's really raise our voices to the Lord as we think about Emmanuel. Each verse of this hymn concludes with Emmanuel. God has come to be with us. Let's sing to the Lord.
Savior of the human race. But the skies were filled with the praise of heaven. Shepherds listen as the angels tell of the gift of God come down to man at the dawning of Emmanuel. King of heaven, the friend of sinners, humble servant in the Father's hand, filled with power and the Holy Spirit, filled with mercy for the broken man. Yes, he walked my road and he felt my pain, joys and sorrows that I know so well. Yet his righteousness gives me hope again. the kisses of a friend's betrayal. He was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. He fought for breath, he fought for me, losing sinners from the claims of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free, death defeated by Emmanuel. Now he's standing in the place of honor, crowned with glory on the highest throne, interceding for his own beloved, till his Father comes to bring them home. Then the skies will part as the trumpet sounds, hope of heaven or the fear of hell. But the bride will go to lover's home, giving glory to
Well, we've had our first word this morning, and our first word is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, that's our first word. And our second word that we want to unwrap is the word Savior. Savior. Unwrap that word. Take it out of its parcel and present it to us this morning. The word Savior. So verse 22 of Matthew 1 has said all this took place to fulfill. And we thought about the conceiving taking place to fulfill. And then we thought about the explaining, the conceiving in Mary's womb, and then the explaining to Joseph has taken place to fulfill. But there's a final thing that we've got in our passage, which is part of this was done to fulfill. And what is it? What is it? It is the naming. The naming of this one. And what is his name? If you look in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, you see him named as Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You see, Jesus is part of the fulfillment of the Emmanuel prophecy. Him being called Jesus and all that it means, that he is Jesus, that he is to save his people from their sins. So returning to where we left off, we're asking the question. What's the question we're asking? What's the question we're asking? Why has he come? Why has he come? Why has God come? Why has God come down to earth? Why is Christmas special? Because of Jesus. And all that that name means. It means Savior. That's why I'm saying our second word this morning is Savior. There's a rescuer. Okay. Think about this. Imagine you're on the beach now on December the 16th, particularly after a day like yesterday. Perhaps being on the beach doesn't sound so attractive. But go back 6 months and it's the middle of that hot summer and you're on the beach and it's a hot day and you're enjoying yourself. Perhaps you're playing in the sand, perhaps you've been into the sea. And you see somebody appear. And you see somebody appear and they're setting up a stall. And they're setting up a stall and you're thinking, I wonder what they're going to do. I wonder what business they're up to. And you start thinking, could it be, what could it be? Could it be ice cream? Could be an ice cream stall, couldn't it? Could be come to do ice cream. Could be to do a Punch and Judy show. Do they still do Punch and Judy shows at the seaside? I think they still do, don't they? Could be a Punch and Judy show. Or it could be somebody setting up for first aid. And you're thinking, and then you see finally, it's a lifeguard booth. They're setting up so that they are lifeguards. The lifeguards have come. And what's the lifeguard come to do? Not to sell ice cream, not to do a Punch and Judy show. A lifeguard has come, so if anybody is in danger out at sea, they can come and rescue them. They're there to help for those who are in need. That's what their business is. And you find out that's why they come. God's come. What business has he set up? I speak carefully and I trust reverently. What's he come to do? God has come. What business is he up to? This is very important, everybody. Very important as we tune into God's purpose and get beyond the purpose which the society has around us concerning what they might want God to do. Has God shown up to be an entertainer? Has God shown up to be an entertainer? To do impressive things, to wow us and think, wow, God must be impressive. Has he come up to be an entertainer? Has he come to be a philanthropist? Well, that's a long word, isn't it? Has he come to be a philanthropist? Philanthropist, what's a philanthropist? Just gives nice things to everybody. Just does lots of pleasant things, gives people, everybody what they want, and everybody thinks, isn't he kind? Isn't he a sweet gentleman? A Father Christmas kind of creature. God is not Father Christmas. Has he turned up as a politician? Seeking to create a better government to improve circumstances? No. Didn't turn up as a politician. Has he turned up as a philosopher to just ponder upon the ways and issues of life and reach no conclusion? Has he turned up as a warrior to crush all the enemies around? Has he turned up for that? Entertainer? Philanthropist, politician, philosopher, warrior? All these things that people might want God to show up to do. No, God has turned up as a, what's our second word? Savior. God's turned up to be our Savior because Jesus means he'll save his people from their sins. Literally mean, Jesus means the Lord is salvation. Jehovah saves. But why did he have to be called Jesus? We've got to do a bit of thinking, I think, here. Because this is fulfillment. It says there, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, is said to be fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. It says this is fulfilled in the virgin birth. What's going on here? What does Emmanuel mean? Everybody, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. But God can't be with us because we're bent. Because we're sinners. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, everybody, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We need somebody to come to sort this matter out because God can't be Emmanuel unless it's sorted out, unless sin is dealt with. So we need a Savior. You see, there's a gap. You know when you've had a couple who are together and then we hear bad news. What's the bad news? They are separated. And what do we say? What's one of the things we say as a result of that? They're no longer with each other. They're separated. They're no longer with each other. The relationship is broken. They're not enjoying each other's presence. And that's what it is with us and God, you see. We're separated from God. We're not enjoying his presence. We're not with him. Emmanuel doesn't work because of our sin, but
that's good news. Jesus has come. But let's just stop a little bit and think, do we all realise that this is the big issue?
This is the big issue. You know, you listen to these TV programmes. David Dimbleby finished after 25 years on Question Time the other night, didn't he? And those are the type of programs where they talk around issues, and I'm not going to say that it's all a waste of time, but basically in the end they're all talking about symptoms, aren't they? They're all talking about the surface issues, and you listen to them and people can talk, to use a phrase I was brought up with, until the cows come home. Talk and talk. I never get to the heart of the issue. Yeah? Because the heart of the issue is that we're in a dysfunctional world, and this world is dysfunctional because of sin. You see, they don't get the heart of the matter. When you go to a doctor and you've got chicken pox, what do you want him to treat? What do you want him to treat? Do you just want him to treat the spots? And you've got to just treat all the spots? You want him to treat the virus that's causing the spots, don't you? You want him to treat that, what you want treated. And so it is with us. We need to have sin treated. Because sin is the reason that this world is dysfunctional. It's the reason that I'm dysfunctional. It's the reason that I am a bent individual. I am a banana. I do not go the straight way. Sin is the cause of the problems. We turn from God. We're messed up. We're not what we should be. The Ten Commandments we have trampled upon and turned our own way. And even with the best of intentions, sometimes we've realized, failed again. Failed again. I don't know what your school record was like or is like here, everybody. But I'm afraid in the school record of God, there is one thing written over all of us. Failed. Failed. Perhaps some of us have failed more than others, but we're failed. We are done. We are messed up. And how do we respond? How do we respond? Well, most of us do a DIY job, don't we? And you may be expert at DIY, and all your DIY may go perfectly. Last week, I put up a coat hanger, and I came to observe it later in the week, and realised that the screws that I'd screwed in were very loose. And it really is not the greatest coat hanger to hang your coats on at the moment. My DIY is not necessarily the best. You see, we do a DIY job. David Robertson, this is a book I've been reading called The Magnificent Obsession. A good book to read. I recommend it. It's about the Lord Jesus. He says this, some people will see this, but then think, we can save ourselves. So we seek what he calls functional saviours from elsewhere. Some seek solace in substance abuse, wrecking their lives with alcohol and drugs. Some seek power and politics. Some look for entertainment and excitement. Some obtain work and wealth. Some find family and friends. Some even go in for religion and ritual. Yet none of it is enough. So am I doomed to get no satisfaction? Is that it? Is it? No. Because it's good news. Christmas is good news. Why is it good news? Because there is a Savior who's come to save us from our sins. Now, you may have money problems this morning. You may have relationship problems. You may have housing problems. And I don't want to undermine those as what they might be. But I just want to say your big problem is sin.
Your big problem is your relationship with God. Your big problem is that because God is perfect and you are sinful, there's a separation between you and God. But go back to that seaside. Hey, go back to that seaside. Who was in that booth? It was a lifeguard, wasn't he? It was a saviour. It was a rescuer. That if you got in need, in danger, he could come. And please, don't want to be irreverent this morning, but dare I say, Jesus has set up a booth on this earth. God has set up a booth on this earth. God has set up a booth and it says, salvation for sinners, free of charge to all who will come, distributed freely for anybody in need. Who's in need this morning? Everybody's in need. Freely, freely. Good news for all. The supply will never run out. It's not as if you limp to the back of the queue and there's 1,000 people in front of you and you think, he'll run out of salvation before I get there. No. He's got enough salvation for 1 billion of sinners and a few more too. Because Jesus is in the business of saving. And so it is through him coming and being called Jesus that we can come to God. One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. I think all Christians should have it in their minds and in our hearts. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Separation is over. Marriage has come. Unity together. We can be with God. Emmanuel can be fulfilled because he had the name Jesus. He's raised from the dead because he has done everything in his dying on the cross to deal with our sins. He came to be born, but he came to be born to die. Because in his dying of his death, there is life for us. Because in his death, he dies every death that we need to die because of our sin. And he takes it all because he is fully God. And he can take all of the righteous anger of God against, due against us. He takes it. And his resurrection seals it. He died, everybody. His blood was shed. Emmanuel can be true because he is the Savior. And his saving work is on Calvary's cross. Christmas begs the question, why? Very few people ask it, don't they? Very few people ask it. But he does beg the question, why? It's always a confusing thing to me when people say, Happy Christmas. Perhaps I might be challenged this Christmas to say to somebody, then they say to me, Happy Christmas. And say to them, why? Why is it a happy Christmas? It's a happy Christmas because the one who is Emmanuel is called Jesus. And yet you come to me and said, it can't be for me. I'm just too bad. I'm just too messed up. You know, well, we read all those names. And all those names are set out to show the line through which that one who is Jesus came into this world according to human descent. And you know what? There's some rough cases in that line. Just start with those children born to Tamar and Perez. There were some unseemly goings on there. You can go and read it in Genesis in chapter 38, whereby Tamar ended up having a child by her father-in-law by some very dodgy means indeed. And then you've got a prostitute in there as well. Any prostitutes here this morning? Well, you might say, I'm pretty bad, but I don't go that far. Well, there's a prostitute in there. Rahab's a prostitute. And then look at one or two of those kings. They're pretty disastrous characters, are just described as being evil.
And God was working through their situations. And I think it's just a message that says, God, nobody's beyond God, dare I say. You're not beyond God this morning. Salvation's for you. You're feeling you're beyond God. You've done some stuff even this last week. You think, if you showed it to me, I'd be appalled by it. God's not given up on you if you come by faith. You see, you receive sinners. It doesn't say nice sinners. It says sinners. Even the worst of them. And if you knew what was in my heart, that would probably shock you as well. It's regards to what I'm like. But Christ receives sinners. And that's good news. That is joyous news. And we can know Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus has come. He's Emmanuel and he can be with us because he is Savior. They come together. They come. Children, you can know it. Adults, you can know it. We can all know it. I trust we can think about these things. I want to say to you now this morning, if you're a Christian, I want to talk to you. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, think this through. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a follower of God. You're attached to his business. You have no right setting up your own business. His business is salvation business. We are called to live out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let us be thoughtful about our involvement in this salvation business. Now, I'm not saying we're all called to be evangelists, but I am saying we're all called to be involved in salvation business. That is, we're all called to pray for people to find the Savior, and we're all called to be praying for people to keep with the Savior, and we can all be laboring. Perhaps it might be, I don't know, there may be somebody in this church and you've just come here by the skin of your teeth this morning and you're just feeling, I might be, I'm just about hanging in there. And they may be on the verge of walking away. Perhaps it might be a word from you this morning of welcoming them and encouraging them might be significant. Or generally in the issues of life, a text sent, a phone call, a message, a word of encouragement. Just praying for those who are the Lord, praying, encouraging them that they might be kept in salvation. And for those who are not in salvation yet, praying for them. Parents, your big call for your children is salvation business. To love them for the Lord. Devote yourself to them. To give them the best in the Lord's name. But your big heart is that they are saved. And that they are the Lord's. Two words this morning then. Two words we thought to unwrap. Two words I want you to take home. Two words I want you to receive and consider upon. Two words I want you to treat as presents from God. Two words I want you to dwell upon about the person of the Word who is. What were the two words again? They are Emmanuel and Savior. And if you just pick up even one or two of the things we thought about this morning and go on and dwell upon them. Where did we finish 2 weeks ago? We finished upon go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yes, it actually came to pass in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Started in Matthew 1. Because Jesus has come and he's died and he's raised and on his way to glory. And now he's going to be with those who are his forever. Emmanuel, Savior, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.